Well, good morning again. This morning we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, a passage we're all familiar with. But I thought it'd be a good passage to talk about on Fifth Sunday. Because the question that came to mind as we came into Fifth Sunday, what gives us the strength to testify? Why can we boldly stand here on this Sunday and testify? I mean, better yet, how do we boldly testify throughout the week? But testifying is just the word, really the word of the week. Word of the sun of this Sunday. And we'll, like I said, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. But actually, one thing I'm thankful for this year is that next year, me and Lindsay get to welcome a little one into this world. Yay. And if you're not friends with on Facebook, last week we announced the gender and the name of our little girl. And so like many of y'all know, her name's going to be Rosalie Eden. And I know some of y'all may not be on Facebook, and so I figured it'd be good to share. We were going to share last Sunday, but the pregnancy kind of kept Lindsay home last week. But we're excited. I ain't going to lie, nervous, but very excited. But Hebrews chapter 10, and we're just going to slowly work our way through these six verses, starting in verse 19. In verses 19 through 25, we're going to see three let us statements that really we're building the sermon around. Verse 22, you see, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession. Then verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another. If you haven't figured it out yet, Hebrews chapter 10 is where it talks about not forsaking the assembly. And so even if, before you get to forsaking the assembly, you see the importance of the us. That the Christian life was not meant in isolation. It was not meant to be done on your own, but in community. We do the highs together. We do the lows together. We celebrate together. We weep together. We witness together. We are called to do life together. But through these three things, we're going to see our confidence before God, our confession about God, and our commitment to God's people. It's the three things we're going to look at this morning. So if you will, let's start in verse 19 this morning. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the confidence we can have in you, Lord, to testify of the goodness of God, to testify for what you have done in our life, Lord. Lord, we are thankful for the confidence that you give us, Lord, that the confidence is not based on us, that if you are a believer in here this morning, they are able to have confidence, they are able to speak boldly, not because of anything they have done, but because of who you are, Lord. Well, let every believer in this room realize this morning they have the confidence to testify on Fifth Sunday. They have the confidence to testify to their neighbor, to their family member. But they only have that confidence if they look to you for that confidence, not in themselves. Let us discover that truth this morning, Lord, as we dive into your word. Be with us, Lord, as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So draw near with confidence. Our ability to testify is not based on confidence in ourselves, but our confidence in Christ. I mean, I've shared my testimony with y'all before. That if my ability to be up here was based on myself, it wouldn't have happened. Just sum it up briefly for the ones who haven't heard it. My first time ever preaching, I was 15 years old. And I went white as a piece of paper when I got up there. and discovered it was possible to stop breathing, to forget to breathe. Because I literally stopped breathing probably for 30 seconds until my dad sent a few rows back and goes, son, you got to breathe. I remember looking down, praying. I said, Lord, give me the strength. Amen. And I did not look up the rest of that sermon. A 10-minute sermon, done less than five. Now I struggle to keep it under 10. But I remember getting home that Sunday. I told my dad, I said, why did you remind me to breathe? I wanted to pass out. It's like if I passed out, I didn't have to do it. But thank God for a heavenly father that didn't let me, and thank God for an earthly father who didn't let me give up on what God called me to do. And if you remember, before even that was 10 years of speech therapy. Because I couldn't speak right. I still can't speak right. But my mom said after 10 years of speech therapy, I was like, you know what? This ain't doing no good. We're wasting our money. Maybe he'll grow out of it. And they took me out of speech therapy. But again, if my confidence to be a pastor was in myself, I wouldn't be up here today. My confidence was in God and the calling he put on my life. And right now, that's some of you right now that's struggling with a calling God's got on your life. You're giving every excuse. Well, here on Fifth Sunday, I could testify to what he's done in my life, that the confidence I had in myself wasn't enough, but my confidence in him made me enough. That he had a calling, he had the place already prepared. I just had to be faithful to walk in that calling and let him shape me through it. You may not necessarily be ready for your calling when you first step into it, but he's already got the training field ready. He's just waiting for you to say, yes, Lord, and take that step. Because sometimes the courage, the ability does not come until you take that first step into what God's called you to do. Sometimes that may be a friend you're called to witness to. You're like, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what I'm going to say. But you steadily feel God tugging you, saying, go, go, go speak to him. And you're like, Lord, about what? All you tell me is to go. Well, he's saying go. And many times he's been waiting to give you the rest when you get there. He wants you to trust in him. And sometimes, let's be quite frank, we don't have the confidence to go because we haven't been in the Word. Because Scripture tells us, hey, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we need to say. But you may know you've not been in the Word enough to be reminded of what you read. Because when you haven't been in the Word, guess where your confidence is laying? In yourself. Because you got to rely on what you know, not what the Lord knows. Get in the Word. We have the confidence to enter church, to enter into our callings because of God. Because of the blood of Jesus. Our past mistakes, guess what? Under the blood. Our old habits, guess what? Under the blood. Our old self, under the blood. When Jesus Christ saved you, your old self was put under the blood. Your old ways were put under the blood. Now live like it. Stop acting like it wasn't put under the blood. If you have came to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, your old ways have been put under the blood. And believe, if you keep trying to pull it out from under the blood, stop it. Don't be foolish. Leave it in the grave. Leave that old self in the grave and live in the confidence and assurance of faith you were called to live in. We are able to serve in church. We are able to be a witness, not because of our clean past, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers the dirty past. Every single one of us in here have some sort of dirty past. Every single one of us in here have a past where we were dead in our sins. But if you are a believer, that past is under the blood. And the beautiful thing is, when we came to the relationship, as we saw in the scripture, he gave us a new and living way that he opened for us. He didn't just say, hey, good luck. I've cleansed you. I put your past under the blood. Now figure it out. That's not what he said, is it? No. He gave you a new and living way. A way to live that is contrary to this world. He gave you a body of believers to help you. And I truly believe, here at Hurricane, he has blessed us with a wonderful church family to do life with, to walk spiritually with, to encourage, to lift up, to disciple, What a blessing good church family is. What a blessing it is to gather together freely. Do not take for granted the freedom we have to gather together. Many Christians around the world do not have that freedom. Do not have that blessing. Don't take it for granted. I'm telling you, I won't never forget, I think we talked about this a couple Wednesdays ago, that man I met in Southeast Asia, first time hearing the gospel, had never heard the gospel in his life, in a country where it was illegal. Soon as we shared with him, without delay, ran out of his house and came back with 5+ people. I can't remember the exact number, but it was more than 5. Within a matter of minutes. And I'm saying the first story in the Bible that popped up to my head was the Samaritan woman at the well. How she told Jesus to wait and went and grabbed people and brought them back. Man, did that story come to life in that moment. Believer, have you just told 5 people this year about Christ? I even want to ask you, have you told 5 people this past week? Have you told 5 people this past year? 1, 2? Do people who even know you in your workplace know you believe in God? Do your classmates know you're a believer? Is your life set apart? Or do you live like a chameleon? Do you just blend in with the environment you're in? It's easy, ain't it? It's easy to be a chameleon. It's tempting. It's easy to go with the flow. It's hard to be set apart. Hard to be different. But again, we don't do it by our confidence. We don't do it by our power. We do it by the blood of Christ. And what a great assurance is, as we're in verse 21, there is a great priest over the house of God pleading our cause, that Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. How often do you go to pray to the Lord and you don't even know how to pray for yourself? Been there many a nights. But every time that scripture brings so much comfort. When I go to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to say. But you know. And thank you, Lord, for interceding on my behalf. Because boy, right now would I be in a mess if you weren't. Because I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin to fix myself. But praise the Lord, you do. Praise the Lord, you have already gave the answer. You have given the solution. Non-believer in here, to the one that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, stop trying to fix yourself. Stop trying to do it. You won't do it. It's not possible to fix yourself to be worthy before God. The only way you're going to fix yourself before God is saying, yes, Lord, and cover me in the blood. And let his blood transform you. Let him change you. Let you step into that holy place he has already prepared. Just get this clear. Christians, we don't work our way into God's presence. We walk into a place Christ has already opened. He's already got the place prepared. You just got to say, yes, Lord, and step into it and let him transform you. And start saying no to the ways of this world and walk boldly in him. Don't live a life where your confidence is, Lord, I had a good week. I deserve to be at church. I had a good week. I shared the gospel 3 times. I'm on a roll this week. Don't put your confidence in, I haven't messed up too bad lately. If your confidence is in any of those things, guess what? You're going to have a lot more bad weeks than you do good weeks. But even if you have a lot more good than bad, it's still not enough. Let your confidence be in the blood of Jesus and his finished work, and that he is our great high priest who intercedes on our behalf. And I love verse 22 reminds us that we can have an assurance of faith, that we can be sure of the God we believe in. And that's possible. We've all had our seasons of doubt, have we not? Well, we weren't so sure. I remember all throughout my teen years, doubt in my faith. The moment it came to a peak for me, it was a Lord's Supper Sunday. And I don't even know what was bothering me so bad spiritually. But I lost doubt of my faith so bad when that plate came before me, I just broke down. And I just passed it on to my mama, who looked at me probably with complete shock, because I don't think at that moment she knew how bad I was struggling with my faith. But in that moment, I just felt so distant, I didn't feel worthy to take anything off that plate. And passed it on. And I won't ever forget that. I believe I was a believer in that moment, but something spiritual was going on with me that just had me really in a spiritually low place. And I say all that, when that lack of faith comes, what you going to do? You going to let it run you away from God or draw you closer to God? Through those dark nights, I learned to draw closer to God. I can remember many times during that season when I just got so, and I can't even tell why I was in such a spiritually dark place. When I was in the bathroom late at night, sick as can be in the bathroom floor, and would have my Bible right there, because I knew that was the only way out of it with what was going on. But I can remember night after night being sick in the bathroom, and in between being sick, reading my Bible. And I'm going to tell you the biggest mistake I made during that time, I never said a word to anybody around me. I tried to fight it on my own. And my parents are great, godly people and would not have been harsh on me for opening up to them. But I let the devil convince me to fight what it was alone. And on that moment that Lord's Supper plate came by me, I couldn't hide it no longer. Because then God was like, you're done hiding in the dark. I'm bringing it to the light. Don't fight it alone. If you're struggling with your doubts, reach out. The scripture says we can have an assurance of our faith. Let's look at your life together and see where that doubt's originating. Why are you struggling with that doubt? And yes, being human at times, that doubt's going to creep in. But what are you going to do when the doubt comes? You're going to run from God? You're going to isolate from believers? Or are you going to run towards God? You're going to run to other believers. A full assurance of faith means we can come to God. Believing his sacrifice is enough. We know we are not enough, but he is enough. Believe the blood is enough. Believe we are truly forgiven and live like it. Believing we are truly accepted in Christ. Scripture tells us, hey, he loved us when we were still sinners. He loved us when we were messed up and broken and chose to love us anyway. Look at the story of Israel. It's a broken, messed up people, is it not? You read from Genesis through Malachi. I went blank. One of the M's. My mind just went blank for a second. You read throughout the Old Testament. Israel was a messed up group. Just read Genesis. They were some messed up folks. But despite their mistakes, God chose to love them anyway. He disciplined them time and time again. When they started messing up, it's like, all right, let's get it back in line. You're being foolish. That's a consequence to pay. And they would go through a season of discipline because he loved them and wanted to transform them. God loves you. One of the greatest assurances of our faith is when the Lord disciplines us. Because in Hebrews it tells us he disciplines those that he loves. Thank God he does not allow us to stay broken and messed up. Thank God he transforms us. Thank God he can get through our hard heads. Me being the chief of hard heads. My mama would testify to it. My wife would testify to it. And my mama say I get it from my daddy. But my daddy probably say I get it from her, but I say I get it from my daddy. But our assurance, though, fuels our witness. Because so often we struggle with a feeling of who am I to talk about Jesus? I fell so many times. Be assured your assurance fuels your witness. When you can stand in Christ boldly, you'll witness boldly. But when you do not, find yourself standing boldly in Christ, you will not be bold in your witness. The reason so many of you do not share your faith this week, did not share it this past week, is you don't stand in that assurance. You got that relationship, but you're letting the doubt rule your heart. You're looking more on your own confidence rather than the Lord's confidence. If you truly believe the day is drawing near, you wouldn't stay so quiet. If you truly believe the day is drawing near, you will be more bold. If you truly believed Christ's return was imminent, you would be more bold. If you truly believed that any of us in this room at any moment can meet Jesus Christ, you would be more bold. Tomorrow's not promised. All the way from the youngest in here to the oldest. Any of us this evening, this hour, in the next few minutes could be meeting the Lord face to face. You just don't know. Now, I like to think I got another 50 years before I meet him face to face. But I could have another 50 seconds before I meet him face to face. But no matter when that comes, I pray that I live bold with every minute, every second he gives me on this earth to testify to him. That's not a moment with my dash I regret, but I use it to the fullest. Verse 23 goes on to say, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Our confession is rooted in our hope of Jesus Christ, of in our eternity. Because of Christ, we have been purified, and we serve a living God. Our hope is in Christ who died for us, who rose for us, and will come again. We have a living hope. We have an eternal hope. Because if Christ had not rose again, we couldn't expect him to come back again, could we? But we know 2,000 years ago, he arose from the dead, that even death could not stop him. So what does that mean for his children? What does that mean for us? Death cannot stop us. Death has been defeated. Death is no longer our enemy. Whenever God decides to take us, it's the time he intends. And praise the Lord. I know it's hard in the moment to say goodbye. But we say goodbye to believers, they're way better off. I mean, we mentioned it last week, talking about Moses, when he led the Israelites through the wilderness and didn't get to enter the promised land. From a human perspective, he's like, man, he got cheated. All that work, and he don't even get to go in. But then you sit there and go, well, he got to go to the promised land that the promised land was looking forward to. He didn't get cheated. He got to see his reward. Praise the Lord for the believer that gets to see the eternal reward. To everyone in here, make sure you're right with the Lord. It's still going to hurt to tell you goodbye for now. But what a peace and a hope it is to know where your eternity lies. Live your life in such a way that we don't have a doubt where you spend your eternity. Again, from the youngest to the oldest. Live with an assurance of faith. So, the day you lay up here, we can celebrate your life. That we can testify the goodness of God in your life. That it could be a chance to point your friends and the family that you leave behind to the Lord. That your testimony don't end with your last breath, but it goes beyond you. Because you serve a God that is beyond you. A God that is bigger than you. Cannot stress it enough. Our confidence is in Christ. Our ability to testify is not based on ourselves, but on Christ. His blood has cleansed us, and his promises will not fail. Verse 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As I read this verse, I couldn't help but think about how Fifth Sundays go. Is it not a way to stir up one another through testimony? as we share what God has done in our lives. We remember our testimony, it's not bragging on ourselves, but it's bragging about Jesus Christ. And remember that when you're sharing your witness. Because sometimes you'll go hear people share their testimony, and it's almost like they are glorifying the life they used to live. They'll tell their story and just make it sound like some glamorous, sinful lifestyle. And it's like, oh, then I got saved and left it behind. And then they're done sharing their testimony. Like, that ain't pointing people to Christ. I'm like, you just made it sound like your life just got boring all of a sudden. Because I can't tell how many times I've heard people who've heard testimonies like that and they go, man, I wish I had a powerful testimony like yours. I'm like, they just did not point you to Christ that whole time. They just made you wish you lived a wild life for a season. Nah, you share about the goodness of God. You share about how, hey, I used to live this way, but then God got a hold of me, and this is how he changed me. This is the scripture. This is the truth he used to change me. This is the scripture he used to change this lifestyle and bring me to a holy lifestyle. I've been where you at. I can tell you how God worked. Now, that is one reason it's important not to hide your testimony, what you've done, but be willing to testify, to admit, to confess publicly what you did. Because sometimes hearing it from somebody that's been there makes a world of a difference. Does it not? Now, sometimes that's something I could tell you from the pulpit 50 times. And you go, I know it's true, but then somebody else that's been where you've been at, that's went through the sin you went through, they shared the same thing. You go, man, that's good. I'm not offended. I know what it means to hear from somebody that's been there. Be willing to be real with people. Be honest with folks. Be willing to fess up when you mess up. But use it to point people to the power, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. But we stir up one another through testimony in church services. We stir up one another around the dinner table throughout the week. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, how have you stirred up one another this week? How have you, this past, at the Thanksgiving table, how did you stir up one another? How did you use your words to point people to Christ? Or this past Thursday, when we celebrate thankfulness, did we push the one we should be the most thankful for to the background? Because you don't bring up religion at the Thanksgiving table. That's a lie of the devil. He's the thing we are the most thankful for. He is the person we are the most thankful for. That we need to introduce every person we know to. But I love how in this church we stir up one another through prayer. How we do pray boldly together. How through prayer we bear one another's burdens. I love how we stir up one another through singing. That's the way we encourage one another. Throughout scriptures, you see the importance of singing. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. You see, we are called to sing psalms and spiritual songs when we gather together. Because our voices speak truth to each other. Our voices speak encouragement to one another. Our worship encourages one another. We're not all blessed with beautiful singing voices, but we're still all called to sing. We're all called to lift up a voice together. If you sit by me and you don't like my singing voice, sing louder. Drown me out. Let our songs shake the windows. We all are gifted to worship. If you sit anywhere close to me, you know I cannot sing. Not a lick. But it doesn't stop me from worshiping God. I can't tell how many times through high school, because of a youth worship service, I got to have conversations with folks I didn't even know. And that's not to brag on me, that's to brag on God. Because I was not gifted to sing, but my confidence in worship was not in my gift, because I was not gifted, but it was in Christ. When I got together with other believers, I couldn't help but to raise my hands to thank God, to praise God, and be thankful. And other young people saw that. Can't tell how many times it'd be, oh, you're that kid from Sorry at the Pole that's always They would call it dancing half the time, but you was outside the pole and you had your hands all up and get into the worship. Wouldn't know these folks, but because I was faithful to worship how God called, to gather with other believers to sing, I was able to encourage other people. I wish I could sing. But to be honest with you, God had blessed me with a singing voice. I probably would have ignored my call to pastor. I probably would have tried to start a band or something and travel around singing. So God knew what he was doing. He knew I would be hard-headed. But God is giving you a voice for a reason. And as we saw in verse 25, don't neglect to meet together. This morning is not about checking a box, is it? That's what we view it as sometimes. It's something much greater than just checking a box. It's about being faithful to what God has called us to do. And really, in the grand scheme of our week, church is really just a small habit. But it is a small habit that builds big character. And then the small habit of neglecting church, it's also a small habit that builds character. But just not in the right direction. It is vital that we get together. Coming together is about perseverance, encouragement, preparation for Jesus Christ's return. None of us, again, were designed to walk alone. You don't just come to the church because you need a word. You come because somebody else needs your presence. Scripture makes that clear that we come together to encourage one another. Yes, you come here to be discipled. You come here to hear the word. But guess what? Every single one of you that came here this morning, every believer that is here this morning, you're here because somebody in this church needs you. You were called to be an encourager, to build up one another. That is not a single one, from the youngest to the oldest, that was not here this morning for somebody else. You are here for yourself, but you're here for one another too. And so this morning, how have you gotten out of your 3-foot circle to be there for somebody else? Or it might have been just as simple as you being bold enough this morning to get up there to sing. The song God laid on your heart, God had a reason, had a purpose for it, and somebody in here needed it. To the ones that sung this morning, that may be a song this morning that you sung that's ministered more to somebody in this church this morning than this whole sermon has. You never know. Sometimes every time when we see the little kids, the youth get up there and sing, it blesses my heart beyond measure to see that. It blesses my heart to see the little ones run around. Because what a promise and hope it is for the church to see little ones run around. I love it. And it blesses my heart to see families raised in church. To see kids joyful to be in church. That when I look out, the young people aren't like, oh, I was struck here again. But for the most part, when I look out, you see on the young people, they don't look like they're mad that they got drug here. You see a desire because the example that's been set for them by their parents and their grandparents. Keep up the good work. Encourage somebody today. Build one another up. And if I want to give you a second chance this morning. We started off testifying. But who's sitting here this morning that knew they were supposed to testify and they didn't this morning? Somebody still got something they feel led to share? So I feel like God's wrestling with somebody. Somebody in here has something God wanted them to say. Remember, it's not your confidence. You're not speaking about your power. But you're speaking about the confidence in Christ. And it's time you start trusting it. I gave you your chance. You're going to regret it. I promise you, you're going to wish you spoke up. You won't regret speaking up, but you are going to regret you did not speak up when God told you to.
Fell in love, and he's always there. And I thank him for my family, my church family.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Say, I brag on y'all all the time. Because this is a one-of-a-kind church in many good ways. And I love this church. Some people probably get tired of hearing about Hurricane, but they're going to keep hearing about y'all. Because I see God moving in a special way among y'all. So just to get ready to close up, I encourage you, don't neglect the assembly. Don't neglect coming to church. Men, don't neglect your duty as the spiritual leader of your household. Scripture makes it clear time and time again, you are called to be the spiritual leader. Young men, one day you're going to be the spiritual leader of a household. Don't wait till the moment comes to start preparing. Y'all get in the word right now. Get in it now. Young ladies, don't just date a guy because he's cute or he's sweet. Cuteness is going to fade. He's going to get old, lose his hair. It's going to get gray. The cuteness is going to fade. And sometimes the sweetness may start to fade. Make sure he loves God. And challenge him to grow deeper. Ladies, challenge your husband to grow deeper. Keep your husband sharp. Be so much in the word that it pushes them to be in the word more. Because you give them questions that try them. But men, man up. Be the leader God's called you to be. And to the ladies that lead the homes spiritually, I applaud you. That takes great strength because you are carrying a burden you are not meant to carry. Whether you're here this morning or whether you listen on the live stream, it was a burden you are not meant to carry. But I applaud you for picking it up and carrying it. Keep up the good work. Keep persevering. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth.
If I do get out of the way and all that, he don't beat me up like my family or my friend, you know, you make a mistake, and oh boy. You know, he just keep you down the road, but you don't do that. He just slips right upside down and puts his arm around you. You can't resist, you know. So you know I've made a mistake.
That's the truth. And you think about all that, it's like, how does one person juggle all those roles so perfectly? But he does. Trust in him. Follow his example in how to lead your family. And when you mess up, mom, dad, be willing to admit it. Whether your kids are still living with you, or rather, they've done moved out and got kids of their own, be bold enough to say when you mess up, to set that example of humility. Be willing to apologize when need be. And you may say, hey, I got saved later on in life, and I didn't live like a godly person before you. You may need to go back to your adult children and say, hey, I didn't set the example I needed to for you, and I apologize. So you may be thinking of a child you have that may not be in church today because of an example you set years ago. Be willing to be bold enough to go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. It may not, get them back in church immediately, it still may not resolve hard feelings. But you have peace that you're doing what you need to do. And you may have a parent that never raised you in church. And you go to church faithfully now. Be bold enough to go to your parent and be a witness to them and tell them what God's doing for you. Let us be bold. Let us take our confidence in Christ to have the hard conversations, to have the easy conversations, to take the simple acts of obedience, to take the complicated acts of obedience, to be willing to speak out on a fifth Sunday, being willing, hey, to speak out tomorrow at the gas station, at the workplace, in the schoolroom, around the dinner table, to have the confidence to encourage your family tonight, have the confidence to be vulnerable before your family tonight. Promise you, you won't ever regret having a godly conversation, but you will regret not having them. Whatever you are wrestling with this morning, go do it. Go have the conversation. Take that next step. I promise you, you will not regret it. But you will regret not having it. Again, back to the young people. Spend high school, middle school living for the Lord. Be holy. Be set apart. Don't do what everybody else is doing. I promise you, you will not regret living for the Lord in high school. You ain't going to miss out. Because I know that's one of the biggest things. Why, if I live a Christian life now, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on the fun things. You're going to miss out on the stupid things you're going to regret. It's much more rewarding living for Christ. See, my life's been much more interesting living for Christ. I look through what I've done through high school, my early 20s. I'm like, my life wouldn't have been nowhere near as interesting if I wasn't in Christ. It was much more interesting, much more rewarding, and it's not full of regrets. Live for the Lord today. Do not put it off. Let us be bold and confident in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the confidence we have in you. Lord, just this morning, if somebody's wrestling with what they should do, Lord, let them come lay it down at the altar. Let them come grab me to pray with them. Let them grab another believer in this room to pray with them. Because as we said this morning, each one of us have a reason to be here for one another. Let us be bold to reach out and grab that person that we feel led to pray with. Let us have the boldness to grab one another, Lord, and lay the burdens down together. Let us go confidently in you, Lord. Be with us during this time of invitation. Let your spirit move in a great way. Well, let your spirit move in a great way this week. We love you, Lord.